Mark chapter 11. And when they came near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he, Jesus, sent forth two of his disciples and said to them, Go your way into the village across from you, and as soon as you have entered into it, you shall find a colt tied on which no man has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. And if any man says to you, Why are you doing this? Say that the Lord has need of it, and immediately he will send it here. I think in Matthew's account, it was, wasn't it like a donkey and her colt? It's a little bit different. But, I mean, Mark says there's a colt. Doesn't say it was just a colt only, so it's not a contradiction. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside in a place where two roads met, and they untied it. And some of those who stood there said to them, What are you doing untying the colt? And they said to them, just as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. I'm assuming these people knew who Jesus was, and as soon as they said that the Lord had need of it, they were like, okay. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their garments on the road, and others cut down branches off the trees and scattered them on the road. And those who went before and those who followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. I don't know if all these people really understood who Jesus was. They may have thought that he was going to be a physical king in physical Jerusalem. They probably didn't understand that he was going to have a spiritual kingdom. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And after he had looked all around at all things, and the evening had come, he went out to Bethany with the 12. And the next morning, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree far off having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he might find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not yet the time of figs. So no figs on it, because it was out of season. And Jesus answered and said to it, May no man eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. Some people have accused Jesus of being angry and abusing his miraculous abilities here. I think that's a terrible accusation. And he wasn't angry. He just saw this as another teaching opportunity. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out those who sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves, and would not allow any man to carry any vessels through the temple. So these people had commercialized the temple. You know, they were selling and buying their products and making money and making profit. Now, I do think there were some rules, maybe in Deuteronomy 14, maybe? I can't remember what chapter. So there were some rules that were allowed. These people apparently had completely abused those rules and had totally commercialized this, and it was completely inappropriate. And he taught, saying to them, Is it not written, My house shall be called the house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. You've just turned it into a big old Walmart. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and were seeking how they might destroy him. For they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when evening came, he went out of the city. So as usual, the scribes, the Pharisees, the elders, all of the religious leaders wanted to kill this man. He was not what they wanted. He didn't fit their agenda. And they wanted to destroy him. Again, doesn't that sound familiar with politicians today? And as they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Master, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered away. It's dead. Aha! So now here's the teaching opportunity for Jesus. And answering, Jesus said to them, Have faith in God, for truly I say to you that whoever shall say to this mountain, Be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. Now, who's he talking to? He's not talking to us today. We cannot pray that Mount Fuji could be thrown into the ocean and it will come to pass. He's talking to his apostles, and the apostles performed miracles for what reason again? It was to confirm the word. So if there happened to be a situation where, in order to confirm the word, we need to throw this mountain into the ocean, then they could pray to God and it would be done for them. I've never heard of an ocean being, or a mountain being thrown into an ocean, so they probably never had to actually do that. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you have received them and you shall have them. Again, he's not talking to us today. Now, yes, we are to pray to God today. And we should pray with faith. And we should pray with confidence that we will receive what we have prayed for if it's appropriate. I'm not going to sit here and pray to God that $1 million will just drop into my lap. It's not going to happen because I pray about it. And first of all, that prayer will be completely inappropriate. This is prayer like if it's God's will and if it furthers God's cause, that's one thing. You know, if you're going to pray for material things, that's totally inappropriate. And plus, in this situation, he's talking to his apostles, and it's to help them spread the word. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you for your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now, that certainly applies to us today, too. We need to forgive others if they repent. I can't remember if we've already read or not, where the person who sins against you, in order for you to have the authority to forgive them, they have to ask for forgiveness. You do not have to forgive somebody that refuses to repent. But we should have the attitude of, I really want to forgive this person. I really hope they ask for my forgiveness. But if they don't, you do not have the authority to forgive them. I hear a lot of times on TV and stuff, you know, maybe something tragic happens to a family member and the other person says, I forgive them, you know, the murderer or whatever. Even though the murderer never even asked for it, they just gave them forgiveness. Now, I think that's a great attitude to have, but they don't have the authority to forgive them unless the person asks for it, because God does not forgive us our sins unless we repent and obey. God on judgment day is not going to say, well, I know you didn't ask for my forgiveness for all of your sins, but I'm just going to give it to you anyway. No, he's not going to do that. We don't have the authority to do that to our fellow man. And they came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders came to him, and they said to him, but what authority do you do these things, and who gave you this authority to do these things? Oh, as usual, they're just being really super nice and supportive of Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to them, I will also ask one question of you, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, then why did you not believe him? But if we say from men, they feared the people, for all men considered John to have been a prophet indeed. And they answered and said to Jesus, the perfect politician answer, we cannot tell. We don't know. And answering, Jesus said to them, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. I love that. It's just you know, a little bit of sarcasm, it seems like, on Jesus' part, which these people definitely deserved. And that is Mark chapter 11.